This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. Meghna Chakrabarty is out today. A month after a gunman shot and killed 26 people, including 20 children, at a Newtown, Connecticut elementary school, President Obama has unveiled an ambitious set of proposals to reduce gun violence in America. It's politically risky and ambitious. The measures include a ban on military-style assault weapons, the kind used by the Newtown shooter, criminal background checks for all gun sales, a ban on high-capacity ammunition clips, and efforts to reduce illegal gun trafficking.
While there is no law or set of laws that can prevent every senseless act of violence completely, no piece of legislation that will prevent every tragedy, every act of evil, if there is even one thing we can do to reduce this violence, if there's even one life that can be saved, then we've got an obligation to try.
The president's proposals are sure to face stiff legislative headwinds in Congress. They come as Massachusetts lawmakers also push for stricter gun control laws. Governor Deval Patrick says he favors a number of measures, including limiting the number of gun purchases to no more than one a month. At the same time, State Representative David Linsky, a Democrat from Natick, is sponsoring legislation to strengthen the state assault weapons ban, add mental health screening to background checks, and require gun owners to buy liability insurance, among many other measures. Here's what Linsky told us yesterday.
I'm also going to be banning, or proposing to ban, large capacity magazines or clips, because quite frankly, there is no legitimate reason that people need to have these on their guns that they're keeping in their houses.
While there seems to be a good deal of momentum nationally and across the state for tougher gun laws, many gun owners and Second Amendment advocates say not so fast. Among them is Jim Wallace. He's president of the Gun Owners Action League, the NRA affiliate here in Massachusetts. And welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
So in the wake of what happened 1 month ago in Newtown, Connecticut, there does seem to be growing public acceptance of a need for tougher gun control. National polls show that a majority of Americans now favor that. Do you accept that given what happened in Newtown, the climate around gun control has shifted somewhat at least?
Actually, I think the knee-jerk reaction to the unfortunate tragedy in Newtown, Connecticut, actually has initiated some action that unfortunately I think we're probably going to look back on and realize that it was the wrong move. I mean, here in Massachusetts, we've got some of the strictest gun laws in the country, but unfortunately, they're also the most complicated and convoluted to understand. And what we know here in Massachusetts is that in 1998, when the Gun Control Act was passed, we had 1.5 million licensed gun owners in this state. We are now down to about 230,000 to 250,000. And the sad part is, while our numbers have been reduced by 85%, gun crime has increased by 200%. So obviously we did something wrong in 1998, which is what we tried to tell the legislature, that they were focusing way too much on the good guys and not near enough on the bad guys.
So your argument would be that the gun control, this is a state with some of the toughest gun control laws in the country, that they haven't worked.
They haven't worked at all. As a matter of fact, they've been an abject failure.
Well, let's talk about some specifics. We just heard David Linsky talking about tightening the assault weapons ban here in Massachusetts so that it covers older assault weapons as well, so that it covers older weapons as well. Good idea?
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, we actually have a piece of legislation in to just repeal that part of the law because, really, once again, what we're doing is wasting time on arguing what I, the lawful citizen, can own and can't own. One of the things that people realize when they actually look into it is a so-called assault weapon is actually just a semi-automatic rifle. And the AR platform that most people talk about is probably the most popular sporting rifle across the United States.
But of course, we know that it can be tweaked to be more than just a sportsman's gun. So let me get back to David Linsky's idea. He also wants to, for example, ban high-capacity ammunition clips. This is something that you hear a lot about these days. Does that idea at least make sense to you? Because it seems like a high-capacity ammunition clip is for one thing and for one thing only, and that is to increase the weapon's lethality. Why is that necessary on the shooting range or hunting deer or whatever it is you want to use this rifle for?
One of the things that we need to understand in this debate, if you will, is that other than things for sporting purposes or collection purposes, everything that I would possess as a lawful gun owner is for defensive capabilities. Now, the interesting thing is what we're actually arguing about in that case is the government or whoever is proposing this to reduce my defensive capability in my own home. And I think that's what really needs to be discussed is why would anybody want that to have happen? Hmm. And it may not be just a single intruder coming through your front door. It might be three or four or five of them. In that case, boy, would I want my wife to have a 30-round magazine? You bet.
And so the multi-round magazine really is about self-defense in your view.
Absolutely. Hmm. That's what they're designed for.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned guns in the home because, as we know, a gun in the home is much more likely to be used against the people in the home.
Well, I mean, I would doubt those statistics, and I have for many years. But, even if you went down that road, it's like saying that, you know, if you don't have any drain cleaner in your home, then nobody gets poisoned by drain cleaner. So the number one factor is that we have to find some kind of balance, some kind of program that's going to keep firearms or any kind of weapon, for that matter, out of the hands of criminals, but still respect the civil rights of our citizens.
Well, let's talk about that, keeping firearms out of the hands of criminals. And so let's consider this closing the gun show loophole, which is another thing that we hear advocates of tighter gun control laws talking a lot about. The gun show loophole, as we know, allows guns to be sold without a background check. It's basically a cash and carry transaction. And this allows, arguably, guns to fall into the hands of criminals. For example, we know that all four guns used in the Columbine School massacre were bought at gun shows. So why not support at least this?
We actually have in Massachusetts a very strict gun show, if you will, laws. There is no gun show loophole in the state of Massachusetts. And
you can go up to New Hampshire, for example, or the state of Vermont. So what about nationally supporting that? Well,
actually,
that gun show?
You legally cannot do that. It's in violation of both state and federal law.
But the point is you can go to a gun show, and because of the gun show loophole, you can basically buy that gun without submitting to any kind of background check.
But not legally.
Not legally. But if the law was changed, the folks at the gun show would have to require some kind of background check, and that's not necessary right now. So why not support that?
Well, I think it's the mentality of lawful gun owners that everything you've asked us to do continually doesn't work. And there is an absolute dig-in-your-heels mentality that, listen, until you can start proving to me that any of this stuff is going to work, we don't want you intruding on any of our civil rights. Now, the concern is obviously, you know, how do you make sure that the criminals aren't getting the guns? But they need to prove to us that any of this stuff is actually going to function to make sure we're getting rid of the bad guys.
You know, you talk about wanting proof that any of these laws are going to help, but you know the facts. We have more gun deaths in this country than any other developed nation on the planet. Every day, 79 people are killed by firearms in America. That's three Newtown shootings every day. So it does seem like there's an appetite out there where people are saying enough. And don't you think the gun lobby needs to change its approach just a bit? I mean, isn't there a middle ground, reasonable gun control measures that both sides can agree on? Because I'm not hearing that at all. I mean, talking to David Linsky yesterday, he's on a different planet than you.
Yeah, I think he is as far as this is concerned. And one of the things that frustrates us constantly is the absolute denial of the government to handle what we call the human criminal element. They just simply refuse to do it. Mm-hmm. We filed a bill the last two sessions called the Civil Rights and Public Safety Act, and the whole concept behind that was to get rid of this debate so that if we had to tweak something in a criminal enforcement, we weren't affecting our guys and their civil rights, and if we had to tweak something on the civil rights end, we weren't getting so-called weak on crime. And in that bill, we actually proposed a number of new, very hardcore laws that would have punished people who used guns or even tried to steal guns for criminal purposes. We have proposed an awful lot that would deal with the human criminal element. We just can't get it passed in a law.
One last question along those lines. What would you propose? And again, this seems like an important question in the wake of Newtown. What would you propose in terms of new laws to keep guns out of the hands of people who are mentally ill? Again, Representative Linsky would include mental health screening and background checks. Is that a good idea?
That's one of the things that I think is probably going to be the primary discussion in the next couple of months. Rep. Linsky and myself have had many discussions, even just in the past couple of weeks, about how do we accomplish that? Because we all, even going back...
So you agree on the goal?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. The issue is going to be how invasive are you going to allow the government to be? And my issue is there has to be a bar that we can all start with to agree that persons diagnosed with X or above or however you want to categorize it shouldn't have access to guns, shouldn't have access to anything that's going to be harmful to themselves or others. And I think that's a key point to start with, and then we can work down that chain.
Maybe on that whiff, with that whiff of middle ground, we'll conclude the interview right there. Jim Wallace is president of the Gun Owners Action League of Massachusetts. Thanks so much for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
And you can hear a debate between Jim Wallace and Representative David Linsky on this issue tomorrow on WBUR's Morning Edition. Still ahead on our program, was the government's case against cyber activist Aaron Swartz an example of prosecutorial overreach, and we'll assess the state of the open access movement he left behind. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.